Coming to you from the mountains and the plains, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance.
And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Happy Friday, everyone. Week is over. This feels like it was the longest week by far. Just trying to get from Wednesday to today, but we're here on Friday. So happy Friday. Been getting a lot of messages, a lot of comments in the comment section asking for us to make Fridays open line Fridays. I thought we've been doing a pretty good job of having open line every days, but I figured let's give it a try. Today's open line Friday. You want to call and let us know what you want to talk about, get something off your chest, comment on what we're talking about today. Go ahead, call 888-441-1121. And as I mentioned earlier in the week, I think open line Fridays would be a good time to play back some comments from earlier in the week, people that left a voicemail on our voicemail system. So yeah, our number 888-441-1121 is live during the show, but before and after the show, it goes to voicemail. So people have been leaving voicemails as we've asked them to. Some good questions, some we can't put on the air because they keep dropping their phone numbers in the middle of their comment. So it got to be too time consuming to edit out. But if you want, if you're listening to this podcast, after the fact, watching it on a after stream or listening to it, 888-441-1121, call, leave us a message. Give us your name as much as you want. Just don't give us your phone number so that we don't want to set the hounds on you. We don't want leftists calling you. They already blow up our phones and try and ruin our day. I wouldn't want to sick them on you. So we'll get to calls later. There's some stuff I want to get to first, and I would be remiss if I didn't first start out with some lovely words from the new Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer. Let's go ahead, Mr. Producer, and play cut number one.
Fair trial, but make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
We're going to play that again. Put on your listening headphones and listen to what Chuck Schumer just said. Donald Trump apparently incited. Let's play that back again. Cut number one.
They believe Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Welcome to the Biden administration. I mean, people have been asking us for a couple days what was going on in the safe and the panic rooms at the Capitol building. Apparently, Chuck Schumer just gave us a little glimpse that while everything was going on, he accuses Donald Trump of inciting the erection. I'm not sure if he's talking about his erection or if maybe he has firsthand knowledge of another erection that was incited. But that is the new Senate Majority Leader, everyone. Yeah, that probably qualifies as a Freudian slip. Certainly does. Let me know in the comment section what you think about that. I don't really know what to think about it other than the fact that it's a very strange Freudian slip. And as I said, it provides a little bit of a glimpse into what was going on in those panic rooms. Donald Trump incited the erection. Yeah, okay. So the title for today's podcast, we're going to cover a lot of topics today. I had to pick one, and it's going to kind of be an overarching theme, but it's that Joe Biden lied. Is anyone all that surprised? Is anyone surprised? Are you surprised that Joe Biden lied? This is the big one about fracking. Joe Biden claimed on the campaign trail that he was going to ban fracking. Then when it came to the general election, he backtracked that and said, no, I'm not banning fracking. All the media outlets rose to his defense. Well, as we discussed, Joe Biden has completely shut down all new oil and gas leases, and oil stocks are plummeting. So the question is, are you surprised that he lied? Let's go ahead. This is a video clip that was making the rounds during the campaign, making a side-by-side of what Joe Biden said in the primary versus what he said in the general election. Let's go ahead and play cut A.
I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
Like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping
I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
No more, no new fracking.
No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
We're going to ban fracking. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. As we discussed, shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline, that got rid of an estimated 42,100 jobs. 10,000 on construction, 32,000 other jobs connected to the construction effort. Right? Shutting down the border wall, 10,000 jobs. Boom. How many jobs did he just eliminate by shutting down oil and gas leases on federal land? I don't know. They haven't come out with a number yet, but I know it's a big one. I just sold a bunch of my, yesterday, I sold a bunch of my oil and gas stocks just because, hey, I made a nice little profit over the last year on them. Just let's offload them before Joe Biden rips it all away from me. He lied. He lied. Ms. Brewster, go ahead, put up my screen. This is a side-by-side. Washington Post, during the campaign, Trump campaign promotes false claim that Biden would end fracking. Fast forward to today, Biden administration, yes, we are following through with the fracking ban. Yeah, Trish in the comment section on Facebook just said Canada is pissed. They are. They should be pissed. They're also very pissed that they don't have a lot of vaccines. They're trying to get more vaccines. They're begging the Biden administration to send vaccines over to them. We'll see if Joe Biden puts America last in that regard, too. I feel bad for the people of Pennsylvania. I really do. I really do. It was a true statement that Joe Biden would go after the fossil fuel industry. He said it countless times. The media came in and ran interference for him. And there are a lot of people in Pennsylvania who were duped. And I feel really bad for them. I really, really do, because it's probably going to ruin their livelihoods, their jobs. Let's go back to my screen, Mr. Producer. This is, we put this up on Facebook. It's a little hard to read. I'll read it for you. Pipe-fitting union backs Biden, despite his vow to stop the Keystone XL pipeline. That was back in the campaign. Since then, this is unbelievable. Since then, the United Association of Union Plumbers and Pipefitters issued the following statement today following the news that the Biden-Harris administration plans to rescind the permit and effectively end construction on the Keystone XL pipeline. In revoking this permit, the Biden administration has chosen to listen to the voices of fringe activists instead of union members and the American consumer on day one. Let me be very clear, when built with union labor by men and women of the United Association, pipelines like Keystone XL remain the safest and most efficient modes of energy transportation in the world. Sadly, the Biden administration has now put thousands of union workers out of work. Well, where was that concern when the union was endorsing him? Is Orange Man really that bad? Was Orange Man that bad? Ask yourself. If you're a union guy, was Orange Man really that bad for business? Was he? I don't think so. Just amazing. They endorsed him. And then as soon as he's in, he stabs him in the back. And they're complaining about it. I would love to be sympathetic. I do. I want to feel sympathetic to what's going on. But I have no sympathy for anyone who knew exactly what Joe Biden was going to do, that it was going to put them out of business, put them out of work, and voted for him or endorsed him anyway. I have no sympathy. Zero. I don't think that makes me a bad person. I still have time. I have lots of sympathy for the people who didn't vote for Biden, and now he's going after them despite his promise to be a president for all Americans, right? I have a lot of sympathy for today, of all days, what the anniversary, Roe v. Wade, right? It's supposed to be the March for Life. Joe Biden is now restoring funds overseas for overseas abortion practices. And Anthony Fauci's giddy about it. He's giddy to send that money overseas. And coming up, we're going to have an executive order, if he hasn't already signed it, to rescind Trump's ban on federal funds going to domestic abortion facilities. No, that's what I have sympathy for. The people who are actually going to be hurt by Joe Biden's administration, who are completely blameless, completely innocent. Not the people stupid enough to vote for him anyway or endorse him, knowing exactly what he would do to them. No sympathy. No sympathy at all. I was reading another article about a union that makes certain parts that go into engines of gasoline cars, gas-powered cars. They endorse Joe Biden. Now Joe Biden wants to cut gas-powered cars out and transition to electric vehicles, essentially putting that union eventually out of work if Biden gets his way. Listen, I know that there's a difference between rank and file union members and the union leadership. But at some point, the rank and file union members have to vote out these clowns in the leadership. Right? If they don't speak for you, stop electing them. Stop electing them and stop endorsing politicians who want nothing more than to put you out of work. But don't worry. They have a plan for that. They have a plan. We're going to skip ahead. Jen Psaki, Biden's press secretary, was asked about this. Let's go jump ahead to cut number five, Mr. Producer. Cut five.
Getting people back to work will be his top priority.
Keystone XL, the decision yesterday from the president. What would you say to those who have lost their job or will lose their job as a result of that decision? What would the message from the president and the White House be?
The message of the president and the White House would be that he is committed. His record will shows the American people that he's committed to clean energy jobs, to jobs that are not only good, high-paying jobs, union jobs, but ones that are also good for our environment. He thinks it's possible to do both. He led an effort when he was the vice president to put millions of people to work with those both of those priorities in mind, and he will continue to do that as president. But he had opposed the Keystone Pipeline back in 2013 when it was when there was a consideration of the permit or. Sorry, I don't think it was 2013. I think it was a little bit after that. And he's been consistent in his view, and he was delivering on a promise he made to the American public during the campaign. Go ahead all the way in the back.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you about...
I cut it. So we hear this from leftists all the time. Well, they're just going to need to transition into green energy jobs. Okay, so the truckers that you're going to put out of work with not only self-driving cars, but regulations on the trucking industry, what are they going to learn? Truckers, if you go around all 50 states, I believe it's all 50 states, they have a plurality of jobs. Like truckers are the most popular job in I think almost every state. If you look at how what job everyone has in every state, not a majority, but the largest answer is trucker. Really? What are they going to learn? They're going to learn how to build solar wind panels? Build solar panels, build wind turbines. Where are they going to learn? And that's not saying that they can't learn things, but we heard this from Obama and Clinton. They're going to put coal workers out of work and they're going to learn to code. What are they talking about? This union, pipe fitters, plumbers and pipe fitters, those are skilled trades. Those are trades that we need in this country. We need people who know how to pipe fit, who know how to plumb. There's a real shortage of these skills in America to put them out of work and then to say, oh, well, they're just going to have to get other jobs. It's just so tone deaf. It's so tone deaf. And it represents the elitism that we've seen from the Democrats, from the left, from their ivory towers in their universities, looking down on anyone who works an honest blue-collar job to provide for their family. And blue-collar jobs, once you become very skilled in these trades, you can make a lot of money, far more than any of the gender studies majors make making coffee at Starbucks, that's for sure. But the left looks down on them because it's beneath them. It's beneath them. Anyone who has never watched Mike Rowe, old host of Dirty Jobs, he does great work when it comes to the skilled trades in America. He's on Fox News all the time. Don't know if he still is. I don't watch Fox News anymore. But very, very good. He has a lot of good organizations, funds that try and get people into the skilled trades. But the left wants them all to go. Wants them all to go away. We got more from Biden yesterday. asking why Biden didn't wear a mask. Didn't wear a mask. We covered this, that he went to the Lincoln Memorial and he decided not to wear a mask while he was there. Actually, if you do it, Mr. Producer, put up my screen, it wasn't just him. It was all the family members who were there with him. Well, let's play a little game, right? Count the numbers of violations of Joe Biden's mask and social distancing executive order on federal property. Go ahead, count it. Well, there's 9 people there, and all 9 people are hugging the person next to them. So that's 9 mask violations, 9 social distancing violations. But as we heard from Jen Psaki, it's different. It's different for Joe Biden. I'm going to take that on that screen. It's different because he was celebrating what they call a historic day. Let's go ahead and play cut number 2.
And he's focused on doing his job to get the work done for the American people. Go ahead.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
But as Joe Biden often talks about, it is not just important the example of power, but the power of our example. Was that a good example for people who are watching who might not pay attention normally?
Well, Steve, I think the power of his example is also the message he sends by signing 25 executive orders, including almost half of them related to COVID, the requirements that we're all under every single day here to ensure we're sending that message to the public. Yesterday was a historic moment in our history. He was inaugurated as president of the United States. He was surrounded by his family. We take a number of precautions, but I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time.
All right. Bigger issues. When Donald Trump said, I don't have to wear a mask because I'm tested every day, sometimes multiple times a day, and everyone around me is tested, Joe Biden howled that that's not good enough. He should be serving as an example. And here, Joe Biden, though, is out partying. But it's a historic day. Historic day. That's apparently the virus doesn't honor historic days. Like it just goes to sleep. Kind of like how influenza went to sleep and just disappeared. Apparently the virus knows better than to infect anyone on a historic day. I think that this should be a wake-up call. If you own a wedding venue, if you own a catering company, if you own a DJ service, anyone who caters or is a vendor for any of these other historic days, people's weddings, people's bar mitzvahs, birthday parties, right? They should immediately reopen. According to the President of the United States, you don't have to follow COVID guidelines if it's a historic day. So why are wedding venues closed? That's a historic day. It certainly is for the bride and groom and their family and friends. Right? Why are schools closed? I mean, schools closed. Why are they canceling all the school functions, proms? Those are historic days. But no, only Joe Biden is allowed to take off his mask on a historic day. And yes, yesterday, Joe Biden was also on federal property inside the White House not wearing a mask. That's what happens when you sign a blanket executive order. You have to follow it. But he won't. He won't. It's going to be interesting if anyone is actually prosecuted for that. Prosecuted for not wearing a mask on federal property. It'll be interesting if it goes to trial if they bring up Joe Biden's mascapades. I don't know. Again, our call-in number, 888-441-1121. Open line Friday. If you want to call, talk about anything that's on your mind, feel free to do so. Here's a video of Joe Biden in the White House, not only not wearing a mask, but just coughing into his hand. Let's go ahead and jump to cut number 3.
And everyone handled with the most professionalism. Sarah, excuse me, our nominee for Secretary of Health.
Yeah. Listen, if you have a cough, that's when you wear the mask. So not only is he not wearing the mask, he's just coughing into his hand. He's a super spreader. This guy's a super spreader. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Joe Biden was also asked by the press, about his plan to give 100 million, provide 100 million vaccines in his first 100 days. Now, if you remember, the Donald Trump administration predicted that they would have 100 million vaccine doses by the end of March, the end of quarter one, 90 days into the year. Joe Biden just basically co-opted that promise and made it his own. Now, the media is going after Joe Biden for not setting a lofty enough goal. Why? Because he basically is just making the same promise for what he inherited. He's not adding anything to it. We were projected to have 100 million doses by 100 days. That was already happening. Him making that grand plan, it's pissing a lot of leftists off because they realize you're not actually doing anything. You're just co-opting what you inherited. Joe Biden didn't like that line of questioning from the reporters. Let's play cut number four.
Vaccines.
Thank you, guys.
Is that China? Bar higher, that's basically where the U.S. is right now.
When I announced it, you all said it's not possible. Come on, give me a break, man.
Come on, you guys.
Mr. President.
Good start. 100 million. Thank you.
Come on, you guys, let's go. Come on, you guys, let's go. Come on, thank you. Come on, you guys, let's go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. We took away. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, come on, man. I'm doing the best I can. Come on, man. I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot of that as the media starts turning on him. At least we still have Fox News pretending to want to fight back with Ducey there. I think you're going to get... I mean, that was not even a hard question. That was like, why don't you just do a little bit more? 1 million doesn't seem to be enough. Oh, come on, man. You said that wasn't possible. No, what they said wasn't possible was that Trump wouldn't be able to accomplish it. If you remember, they tried to make a whole stink out of whether there'd be 100 million doses by the end of, like, February or by the end of March. They tried to make that a huge scandal. And they basically dominated the White House press conferences at that time, badgering the Trump team on how many doses we would have and when. And whenever they said 100 million doses by the end of March, the mainstream media called them liars. Well, now Joe Biden is mad that people expect him to do better than Donald Trump was able to do. Unfortunately, for America, I don't think that Joe Biden's ever going to be able to do that. I don't think he will. And it's a shame. It's a shame. I'm not going to root for Joe Biden to fail in the maintenance of the government. I'm definitely going to root against him passing his agenda. But in terms of actually helping the country, keeping the country safe, I'm not going to root against that. I just don't think the man has the capacity to do it. I don't think he has the willpower to do what is necessary to keep the American people safe. We talked about this yesterday. Donald Trump's executive order to stop terrorist entry into the United States, he rescinded it and said it is in the national security interest of the United States not to stop terrorists from entering the country. I don't think Joe Biden has it in him to protect the country. And I'm really nervous for the terrorist attacks that we know are coming, the school shootings that will come, people who observe weakness and try and take advantage of the United States. I'm very, very worried about it. Very, very worried. So we have some calls. I did listen to all the calls that came in this week, and I was able to pick out a few of them. Again, if you're going to call in after the show and leave a message, try to not give your phone number because it takes some time for us to edit it out, especially if you mention it a couple times throughout your call. Also, that's not Joe's personal line. So some people have been calling trying to get in touch with Joe. We forward them over to him, but it's not his personal line. So it's the call in line for the show. Here's one caller. He didn't give his name, but he wanted to mention at least one good. He mentioned a couple, but we edited it down to one good thing that he liked about the Trump administration. Let's play call number one.
Yes, hello. I wanted to leave a message about the good things about the Trump administration. Okay. I wanted to start with, remember in 2016 when Trump got elected, how we made fun of MSNBC and CNN and people in the crowds that were falling to their knees. And we were saying we were mocking them. Well, I just want to remind the listeners, don't become those people. Like, we need to go back to work. We need to work our two jobs. We need to pay our taxes. And yes, I'm saddened. Yes, I'm upset. But life goes on. I'm not a victim. Trump supporters, we're the ones that work that keep this country afloat. So that's what we do. And whatever holds true or path we take in the future, I'll follow along. So I'll be listening to a group like you guys. But we're not victims. We move on. And that's very important. As far as his accomplishments, so easy. The market, all-time highs. But we also got to give credit to the prior administration because they wrecked the market. So because they wrecked it, it actually helped people like me. So personally, and not just personally, but all retirement funds, all the municipalities, states, people in retirement funds, they invest their money in the market. So it isn't just the rich that do well. It's all working Americans, people who have 401ks, that have Roth IRAs. This benefited all of us, no matter what your party was. If you were a working American that is in the middle of saving for your retirement, this helped all of us, not just the rich.
No, he's right. He's right. And he listed a couple other accomplishments that we couldn't get to. He left a pretty long message, but we appreciate the call. He's absolutely right that Donald Trump wasn't just helping the rich the way the mainstream media and the left love to portray it. Anyone who got into the market while Trump was president, or even just before Trump took office, made a lot of money. Made a lot of money. And that's good. Just be prepared that some of those sectors, as I mentioned at the start of the show, oil and gas, oil exploration, mineral harvesting, like gold, silver, coal, if you've made your money in those sectors, I'd look at potentially taking it out. And again, I'm not a licensed financial advisor. Make your own decisions based on what's best for you. But I am personally divesting, not because I don't want to support it, because I know that the gains aren't going to stay there for much longer. So a great call. Thank you for that call. We have a couple more. We'll play them throughout the show. Again, our call number 888-441-1121 if you want to join the show. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This pissed me off. The soldiers that were sent to allegedly protect Joe Biden. Remember when Nancy Pelosi went out and clapped for them like a SEAL? Well, apparently that is over. They were no longer welcome to sleep on the marble floors of the United States Capitol. Instead, they were moved to a nearby parking garage. Allegedly, reportedly, this is what we're hearing, one Democrat complained about the COVID risk of having the soldiers there. So they got moved. Thank goodness Donald Trump offered to give them his hotel to stay in. And that kind of woke people up saying, well, that's bad. Woke the left up. Well, that's going to be even worse if they're staying in a Trump hotel. I know that Texas Governor Abbott is withdrawing his troops, the Texas National Guard, saying that it's shameful that you put them in a parking garage because you didn't want to look at them. So wanted to cover that. And I just want to put this side by side up. Trump loved the troops. Remember when that Marines hop flew away, Trump ran, picked it up and gave it back to him. I think right after he put it on his head again, it flew away again. But still, it's the thought that counts. Trump loved the troops. Biden stuck them in a parking garage. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I mean, did we really expect anything better? Did we really expect the left to actually treat the troops with respect? No. They used them, just like they've used so many people to get to where they are, to get to their position of power. I'm going to go ahead and take that down. The Rasmussen poll is out. Joe Biden's approval rating sits at 48% entering office. That is 9 points below what Donald Trump's approval rating sat in that Rasmussen poll when he took office. So Joe Biden, according to the Rasmussen poll, is less popular than Donald Trump was taking office. And he's actually 3 points below what Donald Trump was when he left office in that same daily tracking poll. And Rasmussen is the only organization still doing a daily presidential tracking poll. So I don't want to hear, oh, Rasmussen's not accurate. Well, they're the only one doing it, right? Gallup stopped. They all stopped. It's just Rasmussen. So if a leftist organization thinks that they can do a better job, they can go ahead and try. So this was a really, we mentioned this on the show a couple days ago. This was, I believe it was Inauguration Day. I just wanted to give you guys an example of the hard-hitting questions that many in the media are actually giving to the Biden administration now. I just want to give you a taste. Let's go ahead and play cut number six.
A lighter note, will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme change?
This is such a good question. I have not had the opportunity to dig into that today, given the number of executive actions, orders, the inauguration, a few things happening. I will venture to get you an answer on that, and maybe we can talk about it in here tomorrow.
That's such a great question. The new administration, I'm so glad that you asked us about Air Force One's color scheme and whether it should be a darker blue and red or the traditional baby blue. I'm so appreciative of that. I'm going to have to get back to you on that, but I really do appreciate the question. It makes me sick. Go back and watch any press conference from the Trump administration, and there were no questions like that. There were none. There were no softballs. Even Fox News was throwing fastballs, trying to catch Trump's press secretaries off their game. No, it's disgusting. It really is disgusting. Well, let's play another call, a caller that called in over the week. This caller said that their favorite part of the Trump administration was how he stood up to the Republican Party. Let's go ahead and play call number two.
Yeah, I was trying to get on the air. I just wanted to make a comment of how I appreciated Donald Trump standing up to his own party when he knew it was the right thing to do. He wanted to do what's right for the nation and not what's politically correct. If he knew that it was important, he really worked hard to get a lot of things done in spite of the Republican Party's opposition.
Yeah, no, it's true. He revealed in many ways the Republican Party for what it is. Not a conservative party, one that is against the people, that it stands with big tech, big special interests, big corporations, doesn't actually stand with the people. I was just looking at this while we were listening to that. Mr. Bridges put up my screen. Joe Biden has frozen Health and Human Services, Trump insulin and epinephrine rule. So as you remember, Donald Trump signed an executive order a couple months ago to implement a new rule that would force companies to provide insulin and epinephrine at lower prices. Joe Biden just froze that until March. So for the next 2.5 months, people will have to pay more for their insulin. Not because it has to be that way, but because Joe Biden is insistent on canceling anything Donald Trump did, even if it was going to help people. Take a long look at this and ask whether this is a president who will be president for all Americans. Oh, well, no, actually, if you actually read the transcript of his speech, there was a little asterisk, and it said all Americans except diabetics and anyone who has allergic reactions. No, not for them, right? No EpiPens. Sorry. If you're on an EpiPen, he's not the president for you. So Donald Trump used to say that Joe Biden was going to enjoy the fruits of Trump's executive order, ordering pharmaceuticals to reduce their prices. No, he's not, because he just stopped it. So no, Joe Biden will not have to explain away how Donald Trump was successful at reducing prescription meds. He just stopped it. That's apparently what it looks like to be a president for all Americans. It's a real shame. It's a real, real shame. Again, our call number 888-441-1121. Also a great time to remind everyone, make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, and also follow us on DLive. That's the third streaming platform that we're on now. We're going to be rolling out more. Also make sure that you check us out on our, different audio versions of the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We had some stress yesterday. I thought Spotify might've taken us down. No, Spotify's still up. Their whole podcast section was glitching. So no podcasts were accessible yesterday. So we're still on Spotify. But it's a good opportunity to diversify how you subscribe to us. So make sure you also check out places like Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Podbean as well. Make sure you check all of that out. This is hard. Someone's commented earlier in the Facebook comment section, they don't know whether to laugh at Joe Biden or to cry at the death of America. It is weird. It's a weird feeling, right? I'm laughing at how disgustingly broken this administration already is and how they're so adamant about reversing Donald Trump's executive orders that they're putting Americans out of work, making insulin more expensive just to make sure that Orange Man stays bad. Orange Man can't be good. Orange Man has to be bad. has to be bad. There's no alternative. So this is something, a news that broke. Amazon announced yesterday that they were, let me see if I can get a screen for it. Amazon announced yesterday. I don't want to give the Washington Post any time. Go ahead, put up my screen, Mr. Producer. Amazon announced that they were going to help the Biden campaign with vaccine assistance after months of silence with Trump. We also heard the same from Walmart, that they are going to jump on. And there was a question that was asked during Psaki's press conference about whether the Trump transition or the Trump campaign, the Biden transition or the Biden campaign knew anything about this before this went to effect. So go ahead and take my screen down, Mr. Producer, and then we're going to go real quick to cut number seven. Cut number seven.
And COVID, the question. Did the transition officials know before yesterday that Amazon wanted to get involved in such a meaningful way?
We saw, not that I'm aware of. I'm happy to check. I mean, when the reporting came out, I asked the question, and I think internally, and you know what was conveyed to me, and I don't think we discussed this yesterday, was that we've had a lot of outreach, some privately, some publicly, from a range of businesses and private sector entities, and we certainly welcome that, and we'll be considering all of those offers and what makes the most sense in our.
Do you notice what she just did? She brought back the great old Obama excuse. She heard about it in the news. Think back. How many times have we heard that from Obama or Obama administration officials? Anytime there's something that makes their administration look very bad, and anytime there's something that, if connected, would be very embarrassing and maybe even illegal, they say, oh, well, I didn't know about that. I heard that in the news with the rest of you. Really? Really, we're just led to believe that Amazon, one of the biggest companies, the biggest company in the United States, just spontaneously decided that they were going to join the vaccine rollout. And no one in the administration knew about it. Really? And I'd love to see a body language expert go through Jen Psaki's body language. Because when she gets hit with these tough questions that she isn't expecting, she always does the hair flip. I love the hair flip. And she always kind of moves her head around and tries to change the subject. All very obvious ways to deflect and obvious signs of distress. A lot of people said that she isn't ready for prime time, much the same way that Sean Spicer might not have been ready for prime time. I like Sean Spicer, but I don't think he was ready in the early days of the Trump administration for just how vicious the media was going to be towards the president and his advisors. I don't think he was ready for it. And he kind of got stuck and put his foot in his mouth on a couple of things. Jen Psaki is not ready for prime time. She's not. Now, maybe she'll get better. I don't know. I didn't like her when she was on Fox News. I didn't like her when she was, spokesperson for the State Department under Obama. And I don't really care for her now at all. So we do have a caller. We have Dale. He wants to talk a little bit about the trade jobs that we talked about in the first bit of the show. Dale, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Max. How are you doing?
It's Friday, so there's that.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm a young man just about to graduate college, and I go to a fairly good school, but it worries me that these trade jobs, my dad and all my mentors growing up, they were all in their trades, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, even truck driving, and I'm in the middle of learning to drive a truck. And so I was just wondering, what do you recommend for somebody in my shoes? How does a young man like me learn to go out in the world where we need these trade workers, but we have this administration that those jobs are now so uncertain?
So obviously, if you're in school to learn how to be a truck driver, don't quit. Keep the job. It's a good paying job. And I don't want to mimic what the left says, oh, just learn to code. But you should also keep your options open and pursue other either side gigs or other ways to train yourself for other types of jobs. I don't know your specific circumstances. I know that learn to code is not particularly helpful because, I mean, I tried to learn to code and I just don't have it in me, right? I'm not good at it. I just would not recommend you to go into trucking thinking that you are going to have the ability to drive into your retirement years the way other Americans have. It just, it probably won't be there, which is very unfortunate. So many Americans rely on these kinds of jobs to provide for their family. If Joe Biden's able to implement the things he wants to implement, it's gonna be really tough for that industry. So obviously stay with it. But if there's any opportunity for you to get more specialized training with what you can haul, maybe hazardous substances, right? If you can get trained into other types of heavy machinery, diversify your skill set so that if they come after that, you can have other ways to earn a living.
Do you really think that the trucking industry is going to be automated? And if so, how long do you think that's going to last?
I don't know when. I know they're already trying it in Europe. They have artificial intelligence driving trucks, not like large scale, but they're testing it out. I know that Tesla wants to roll out a self-driving truck. It's going to happen. It self-driving cars are perhaps the stupidest thing we could do to this country. Like I get it that progress, we have to move forward. Progress, progress, progress. But we should never have progress at the expense of Americans. And when you look at how many people drive for a living, whether it's delivery drivers, whether it's taxi drivers, limo drivers, truck drivers, right? They will lose a lot of jobs if automated trucks, automated cars take over a large sector of the economy. People will lose their jobs. I don't know when. I'm waiting, and Tucker Carlson's great with this. I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, wait a minute, let's at least talk about this. We can't just move forward and expect that this won't have ramifications, right? So I don't know when, but it is an industry that there are politicians, wealthy people who are adamant about making it go away. So it's unfortunate, but it is coming. And we should all be standing up and fighting back against that. Not because we want to fight back against progress, but because progress for progress's sake isn't worth it if we're going to put millions of Americans out of work.
How would you implement progress and also ensure the welfare of these hardworking Americans if it were you in charge?
If it was me in charge, I would make regulations against self-driving cars in commercial industries. Right. If you want to have self-driving cars, you want to perfect the technology and people want to put it in their own personal vehicles and drive it, fine. But I would say that it's not in the United States' interest to automate an entire sector of the economy. I mean, people don't often talk about it, but when the automobile was invented, do you know who who benefited the least, who was hurt the most from the invention of the automobile?
The horse carriage makers.
Yep. Not just horse carriage makers. Horses, hundreds of thousands of horses were put down because they no longer needed them. And yeah, you had the carriage makers and all that, but horses, there was a mass extermination of horses. And no one stopped to think about, oh, well, if we have automobiles, all these horses are going to die. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have automobiles, but we have to at least talk about the consequences and ask ourselves, is it worth it? Now, in the long run, I would say, yeah, losing horses is worth it. If we're going to be able to drive across the country, ship things using automobile technology. Yeah. But no one even had the discussion. It was a shock to many people. We have to have those discussions. And I think that until those discussions are had and a system is put in place to protect the jobs that we need, not only to drive the economy, but these are jobs that people rely on. Until we can have regulations in place that can safeguard those jobs while allowing for progress, we have to have regulations that prohibit the commercial use of self-driving technologies on federal roadways or on any public roadway. If you want to have it in your own warehouse, robots moving around, fine. If you want to have it on your own property, automated farm equipment, fine. But the federal government should be in the business of protecting American jobs, not selling them out.
Mm-hmm. From my experience, I actually think that I don't know. Me, I'm just more of a small government guy. I'm not really in favor of adding more regulations, but I hear what you're saying. And I do think, however, just being in the industry, that there are a lot of, it would be really hard to automate these things because you have to make sure that your load is properly secured. And there's so many things that I think it would be really hard for even a very, very good AI that knows how to drive How is it going to load and unload the cargo or make sure that everything is safe and secure? I think that there's a lot of challenges. So I'm hoping that that will be pushed a little bit farther back, and at least it won't happen anywhere in the next 10 years, I hope. But and I really love that you mentioned Mike Rowe as well. His scholarships for students in trade schools, very, very helpful to a lot of young people who would be in my shoes as well. And I also have one last question. If I wanted to donate to your show, how can I do that? I really love what you guys talk about.
So we do have a donation link in our description if you want to donate to the show. Right now it's set up because we're being sued, but those donations go to that, go to everything. So there's a link in the description. The short link is bit.ly/cd-donate. And that's one way you can do it. We used to have lemons on DLive, but they took that down. So unfortunately, we're stuck with that. But you can donate there. Also, if you sign up for our email newsletter, we send out daily fax blasts. The fax blasts for today will go live after the show today. That's one way you can donate and also fight back at the same time.
All right. Thank you so much, Max. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to share this with my family and friends. It's good stuff. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. Really do appreciate it. I mean, it's interesting. My grandpa drove a truck, and he's absolutely right when it comes to actually driving trucks. And it's not just point A to B. He's right. You have to take care about the load. You have to understand weather conditions, right? You have to pay attention to traffic patterns. It's absolutely correct, right? It will not be able to be automated immediately. But what will probably happen is they will automate the driving, and they will have the drivers do the other stuff and pay them less for it. I mean, that's probably how it's going to go. I mean, just imagine if you in centuries ago, right? If you sowed for a living, right? If you sowed for a living, when that all became automated, you were out of a job. And yeah, we need to have factories. We need to have industry to drive the country forward. But we have to have the conversation of what we'll lose in addition to what we'll gain. And I'm terrified of it, because you look at the map of just how many people in every state drive a truck for a living or drive professionally for a living. It's huge. It's huge. And just look at the people who drive for Uber or Lyft or deliver pizzas as a side gig to try and stay afloat, to try and earn a little extra money. That goes away with automated deliveries, automated taxis. There is a reason that Uber and Lyft are testing out automated vehicles to put into their fleet. And it's not to make drivers make more money. It's to make the company more money by not having to pay the drivers. But it was a great call. Thank you so much, Dale, for the call. We have a call from Shelley, who wants to talk about how much Joe Biden wants to ununify the American people. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Hi, Max. I listen to you. How's all it going? The time. I'm kind of a little nervous right now, but I just feel like Joe Biden gets into office and immediately goes against the majority of the American people by taking away jobs, opening our borders. You know, it just seems like he wants us to be angry.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying that it's not unifying to call the other party all domestic terrorists? You don't feel very unified with that?
No, I feel very uncomfortable with the Muslim opening up to the Muslims.
It's important to note that Trump's travel ban wasn't actually a target on Muslims, because even with that ban in place, 85-90% of the Muslim world could still come in. But in terms of actual nations, countries like Syria, Syria, Sudan, Somalia, the real concern was that those countries lack the ability to vet people. And in the case of Syria specifically, sending refugees who we have no idea who they are, what their intentions are, becomes very, very dangerous. But your point is absolutely well taken, that on his first day in office, instead of putting America first, he's so interested in putting America last.
Yeah, and then I don't believe in the I don't know how to say it without being labeled racist or whatnot. But
Well, be careful. I don't want you to get canceled.
Yeah, I know. The transgender thing he signed. I don't.
Oh, you're saying that allowing biological men to compete in girls' sports is going to help put food on your table? I say that facetiously. Obviously, it won't.
No, and I don't feel that they should be allowed in locker rooms. And this is coming from a woman that's been gay for the last 20 years of my life. I've been, living that life, and I don't feel that that's something I would even feel comfortable with.
Well, if you look at middle schools, I mean, the explanation that I remember being given was you don't have biological men in the same locker rooms as biological women, because when you have girls going through puberty, you don't want funny business, right? Just to make it very, very PG, you don't want funny business, right? Imagine how many teenage pregnancies there would be if girls and boys were just showering together in the locker rooms in middle school and high school. It would be chaotic. It never had anything to do with your gender identity or sexual orientation. It's a pure biological thing that boys probably shouldn't be naked without supervision around girls. I mean, it's as obvious as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, I have such good things to say, but I'm just so nervous right now, I guess.
Well,
I thought I was able to talk to you. I don't know.
Well, we have our phone line, and don't worry, don't be nervous. You're doing great. But we really do appreciate the call. One final word before we let you go.
Okay. I'm just, I'm a very heavy Trump supporter. I always will be. I just wish that Joe Biden was the type of candidate that was for the American way of life. I'm not against, bringing people in, as long as they come in legally. I wish that we had a candidate that didn't run a socialist agenda, which I find is, one of the biggest things that why we even allowed that with our Constitution, for someone to run being wanting to be socialist. And I don't understand how these people sleep at night, to tell you the truth. I really don't know how they sleep at night not putting the Americans first.
Well,
I just don't. I'll
tell you how they sleep at night. They sleep at night because I do believe that some of them truly believe that Americans are better off by having government telling them what to do in every way of their life, right? I think they believe that the American people are better off if the United Nations has more control over the American people through things like the Paris Climate Agreement. I truly believe that they do not trust the American people with being able to make the right decisions for their family. I truly believe that. And that's big government top-down approach. They would rather give welfare than give you a job, because as long as you're on welfare, they can control you. So that's truly what I believe. There are a lot of people that don't trust the American people. And a lot of that is elitism, the same ivory tower nonsense, looking down on the common man, thinking that they're not good enough to take care of themselves. Well, thank you so much for the call, Shelley. I really do appreciate it. And you did great. Don't be nervous. Make sure you call back again. You got the cobwebs out. Feel free to call it back any time. So again, this is Open Line Friday, 888-441-1121 is our number if you want to call in and talk about anything on your mind, what we're talking about today, the things we're going through. We'll be taking more calls on the other side of the break, playing some more messages that people left us over the week. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this short break.
Ronald Reagan famously said that our freedoms are never more than a generation away from extinction. Conservative Daily exists to make sure that never happens. With our community of 700,000 members, we fight every day to hold Congress's feet to the fire and stop them from surrendering our rights and freedoms. The fight to take this country back is not over. Please join our movement right now by going to conservative-daily.com and clicking the subscribe button to sign up for our free call to action newsletters. We have a chance to save this country, but only if we all work together. Again, this is conservative-daily.com, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button at the top.